Hallelujah. I think you got one of the finest pastoral staffs here, young men that told Pastor Keller that they have so much potential in them. They can't help what they look like. Hallelujah. I asked Brother Keller, I said, what in the world is with these lights, man? I've been on 700 Club and Entertainment Tonight, and I've never seen lights like this in a television studio. A few years ago, me and Gene Simmons of the rock group Kiss got into it. We got into a debate, and I was on television with him. And they asked me, said, are you against the music played backwards? I said, I'm against it backwards, sideways, upside down. However you play it, when they tell our kids to do what you're telling them to do. Somebody asked me, said, well, what did the United Pentecostal Church think about you being on television? I said, how are they going to know, man? If our leaders are watching that junk, that's why we're not having revival. If everything was Opie and wagon train and good, then I don't have time to watch that mess. I've got to pray and get a hold of God. Jesus is coming. Thank all three of you. Hallelujah. Torn open. I want to come by and preach to you tonight that there are dimensions and places in the spirit that a church can actually move until we tear heaven open and the supernatural takes place. I've seen it before. I remember I was preaching in Stockton, California, and Pastor Haney told me, said, when you get through preaching, go back to my office. The office complex is back here, and we'll go eat. God saved me from a lot of it, but eating wasn't part of it. There was this, I walked out, and this, I want to say it right, he wasn't a Mexican, he was a Hispanic. I'm trying to be politically correct. Hallelujah. They're not Mexicans, they're Hispanics, they're not Indians, they're Native Americans. They're not black folks or Afro-Americans. And us white guys, we're the guys that can't jump. Hallelujah. But I started out, and this Mexican guy, this Hispanic guy called me over. And he opened up his coat and had a .357 Magnum hanging under his coat. And I said, nice gun. He said, I came to kill you tonight. He sat right back in there, right here, and he said, I'm a crack shot. And he said, I come to kill you because the girl I've lived with for 3 years got saved last week in your revival and run me off. I like it, don't you? She decided to get her a man instead of a mistake. And this was serious because 2 weeks before that, there was a young lady killed by a gang member right out on the sidewalk in front of that church where the guy was showing me the .357 Magnum with hollow points. And I said, why didn't you kill me? He said, I started to reach for my gun several times, and every time I'd reach for my gun, said there'd be a tall, bright man over 8 foot tall would come and stand between me and you and hold his hands out. Hallelujah. And he said, instead of shooting you, I got the Holy Ghost tonight, and I want to hug your neck. I'm telling you, there's places in the Spirit that we can tear heaven open by worship. I remember 1 year, Longview, Texas, we started a three-night revival like this. Sister Spears, A.D. Spears' wife, Brother Keller knows A.D., she got sick and was in the hospital, paralyzed, 250 miles away. A.D. passed out on the platform, and here we are trying to have revival. And we waded into that thing with every bit of faith that God could give us. And the power of God broke that open. And we went 7 months in revival. Hallelujah. It's about to kill you going 3 nights. We went 7 months in revival. I saw blind eyes open. I saw deaf ears unstopped. Come on. Hallelujah. We saw witches and warlocks delivered. People delivered from drugs. I'm telling you, there's a place in God that we can move where we tear heaven open. I just as soon cuss as go around with a negative confession like most Pentecostals have. Well, I don't think I'm going to make it. You're looking at one cat that's going to make it. I think I'm taking the flu. I'm not. I'm taking good help. Well, I don't think I'm going to make it financially. I'm going to make it financially. Say, how do you know? I'm going to pray. God's going to talk to Keller this week. Hallelujah. We appoint committees to take minutes to waste years. And we need just to get in here and let God tear this thing. Listen, there's two places this terminology is used in the New Testament. It's used where Jesus was baptized, and it said the heavens were torn open. Then it was used when the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And it says that the veil was torn open. Hallelujah. How would you like to see a revival break out in here that we had to have church in ships? How would you like to see old time revival? Now this will cut in on your golf schedule. It'll mess up your golf games. It'll mess up your 3-on-3 basketball. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. But how would you like to see revival fall until we couldn't even contain the revival in this building and had to move out in a tent and have an old-time tent revival and start spraying in a tent revival? So you believe that can happen? I've seen it happen. I don't like tent revivals. Mosquitoes coming around singing nothing but the blood. There's a flesh barrier. There's a flesh barrier that's got to be ripped and torn before we can move into the dimension God wants us to. I've been an evangelist for 22 years. I've preached over 60 camp meetings, and I have never been in a place where we had a move of God where they wouldn't worship. They may not do it right. Come on. I've seen people that's not, you know, been around Pentecost many months and they clap off beat. They don't know when to say amen. But there's something about that touch of God that moves into them. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm telling you, I feel a revival in this place right now. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit wants me to say this, that no prophecy or no message that's ever been given over this pulpit is void. God is going to bring it all back. Hallelujah. And God is going to tear heaven open, and God's going to do something with us. Torn open. I saw a woman the other night coming down the aisle, and she had a cancer in her stomach as big as a cantaloupe. And I said, stop! And she stopped. I said, in Jesus' name, I curse that thing. Now, this sounds humorous, but that cancer left so quick, she had to grab her skirt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Last week, in one service in T.W. Barnes' church, we had over 120 people healed miraculously in one service. I prayed for a woman a while back in California. She said, and she's dying with cancer. She said, I believe if Brother T.W. Barnes, I don't know if you've heard of T.W. Barnes, but he's an old prophet of God. Said, I believe if he could pray for me, I'd get healed. I said, listen to me, Mama. I'm the one Brother Barnes calls when he wants a move of God. The key is not to get in front of some cat that can tell you whether you got right guard or left guard on. The key is to move into that dimension and tear heaven open. And when God does that, anything can happen. Only two people. Turn to the one beside you and say two people. Turn to the one on the other side and say, if you embarrass easily, you probably better move. So I'm going to have revival tonight. Hallelujah. Come on. They don't think nothing about people going mashugan over football games. are those rappers out there. Yo, dude. When you're down in the lurch, come on out to the New Life Church. Hallelujah. You didn't know you had a man that's such multi-talented, did you? Hallelujah. They don't make fun of people when they're jumping up and down over winning the washer and dryer on The Price is Right. But you get Jesus and they want to calm you down and bottle it up and get you dignified. You know how you spell dignified, don't you? P-R-I-D-E. I was in service one night and our governor was there, Bill Clinton. We got to worshiping God, and I thought, I just want to get over right beside that cat and dance and shout and talk in tongues a while. I got to shouting and dancing, bumping Bill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Finally, I reached over and grabbed him by the head, said, in Jesus' name, God, touch our governor. I wish I'd have hung on to him longer. Hallelujah. Everybody say, two men saw heaven open. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, I want to read. This is the first one that saw heaven open. Now listen to this. If you want to turn with me, go ahead, but you're going to have to move quick because I'm fixing to shuck and jive up here. Hallelujah. Isaiah, the 6th chapter, the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Hallelujah. Above it stood seraphims. Each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And he cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. If our worship does that to heaven's throne room, if when we worship it does that and actually moves the doorpost in heaven's throne room, what do you think it does to hell when we get up here and the devil's thrown everything he can at us and we get right up and say, I don't care what you do, devil, Jesus is still God? One of those seraphims. Seraph is a Hebrew word which means burners. Flies straight up 100 yards, and he cries, Holy, holy, holy! And another cries, Holy, holy, holy! And the post of the door moved. We can actually move heaven's doorpost by our worship. Hallelujah! Then there was another guy in Revelation, the 4th chapter, that saw heaven open. His name was John. But something happens between Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4, called the Incarnation. God became a man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was in a debate one day with a Trinitarian, and if you hadn't figured it out yet, I'm a one God, Jesus name, apostolic, tongue-talking, holy-rolling, aisle-running, window-rattling, shingle-slapping, Bible-facking, foot-stomping, one God preacher. Hallelujah. And I was in a debate with him. I used to debate when I was younger and wilder before the UPC got me all calmed down. This guy asked me, he said, Mr. Mahaney, if your gospel can heal, why don't you go up to the hospital and heal everybody? And I said, I'll answer you in my rebuttal. He said, wait till the rebuttal. Answer me right now. If your gospel can heal, why in the name of God don't you go up to the hospital and heal everybody? I said, do you think your gospel can save ignorant? He said, yeah. And I said, why don't you go to the street and save everybody? Hallelujah. Now, I'm the only preacher in our organization that will admit this. I don't know everything there is to know. There's just a lot of things. I don't understand how a brown cow can eat green grass and give white milk. I don't understand that. I don't understand why they call them apartments and they're all stuck together. I don't understand why they call them a pair of pants when there's only one of them. And I'll never be able to figure this out. Why in the name of God a lady would shave her eyebrows off and draw them back on with a pencil, man? And I don't understand how that somebody that's done nothing all their life but be rotten and no good can come to an altar and in a minute God changed their life and they're never the same. Come on, I don't understand how a doctor can say you got cancer and a preacher can pray for you and the cancer leave. I was debating a guy one time. He said, all those, the preachers around was afraid to go in there with me. And I went in and debated him by myself. Building several times as large as this. He said, if you can prove Jesus was the Father, we'll let you baptize us. But if you can't prove it, we're going to baptize you. And I said, honey, we're fixing to have a baptismal service here. And my wife said, who? And I said, we'll find out in about an hour. Hallelujah. And those guys got my wife nervous. She was nervous and couldn't read for me. And I said, well, could I borrow one of your men? I was debating seven of them. I said, you've got my wife nervous. My wife is a quiet, demure. She was raised in a Methodist church, going to be a medical missionary, went to nurses training. Quiet. In fact, she thought of that. She thought of an acid trip was going to the drugstore for Rolaids when we got married. And I said, you guys don't mess with my wife now. Quickest way to get me upset is plowing with another man's heifer. Hallelujah. That's what Samson told him. Said, you plow with my heifer. Hallelujah. I said, don't mess with the little mama. And I said, I want one of you guys to read for me. And one of the gentlemen I was debating moved over to my table and said, I'll read for you, Mr. Mahaney. And I said, I want you to find Isaiah 9:6. I'm going to show you who Jesus was. Hallelujah. He was digging around in the New Testament. And I said, it's in the Old Testament, Dr. Fahrenheit. And I said, he's a major prophet. They got major prophets and minor prophets. And they're major prophets because they wrote bigger books than the minor prophets. Isn't that some deep theology? And I said, now you read and I'll preach. He said, for unto us. And I said, for unto us. He jumped and said, what in the name of God are you doing? I said, I'm preaching, Jack. He said, God's not deaf. I said, he's not nervous either. Hallelujah. And I said, Isaiah 9, read that for me. He said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. I said, could I superimpose the name of Jesus where all those titles are, and would that violate the Scripture? He said, on the contrary, Mr. Mahaney, it would enhance the Scripture. I said, would you read that for me like that, Hot Rod? Hallelujah. He said, for unto us Jesus is born, unto us Jesus is given, and the government shall be on Jesus' shoulder, and Jesus' name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty, and he stopped. I said, go on. He said, the Mighty God, the Everlasting, he stopped. He said, now wait a minute, let me read this again. Jesus' name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And he stood up and hit the desk and he said, I see that. Hallelujah. His buddies I was debating said, no, you don't. He said, I've wondered for years why we didn't baptize that way. That's the only way I can find to baptize. I see it. Hallelujah. I see it. The most awesome truth in the world is God became a man. The mystery of iniquity is man trying to become God. But the mystery of godliness is God became a man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God became a man. And the gentleman one night, he said, let me ask you a question. How could Jesus be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all three? I said, I'm going to answer your question with a question. How could he be a rose and a lily? How could he be a lion and a lamb? How could he be a root and be a branch? How could he be a star and be a sun? How can it be a river and be a spring? How can it be the sheepfold to the door to the sheepfold? And while he's the door to the sheepfold, he's a scapegoat. And while he's a scapegoat and the sheepfold and the door to the sheepfold, he's the shepherd. Now while he's over here being the sheepfold, he's over here being the scapegoat. And while he's being the scapegoat over here, he's being the door to the sheepfold and the shepherd. And while he's being all that, he's being the lamb. I said, God became a man. God wrapped himself in flesh at Bethlehem of Judah. Knocked on the back door of this world and walked in the servants' quarters. And something happened between Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4 that changed the seraphims. See, worship changes you. Worship changes you. You'll never walk in the dimension of victory God wants you to walk in until you learn to become a worshiper. I'm not talking about shouting, jumping up and down, and shucking and jiving. The biggest drunk in Lancaster, Ohio has a right to come in here and praise God. Let who? Everything that hath breath. But there's a difference between juking and jiving and worship, because you can only worship to the extent of your revelation of Him. I know Him. I don't know much about geology, but I know the Rock of Ages. I don't know much about botany, but I know the Rose of Sharon and the Lily of the Valley. I don't know much about geology, but I know the Rock of Ages. Hallelujah. I don't know much about chemistry, but I know how to get the stain of sin out of a sinner's life and forever change him. Now watch this. After the incarnation, the angels' faces are uncovered. Their feet are uncovered. And they're full of eyes. Now listen, the seraphims were created to worship. The seraphims have no choice but to worship. All the time before the throne of God. Oh, there's none like unto thee, O God. The seraph, but we're recreated to worship Him. And watch how worship changes us. One of them has the face of a lion. I was driving down the street, and my two grandkids was in the back seat of the car, and I thought I was having a flashback to the 60s. And one of them started singing, "A whim away, a whim away, a whim away." And I come in there, "In the jungle, the mighty jungle." I said, "Where'd you little heathens learn that song?" I thought about the lion of the tribe of Judah. John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and all of a sudden a voice cried out, "Behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah!" And John swung around, and there stood a lamb that had been slain. The more we become like the slain lamb, the more the Lion of Judah is in us. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. The more we become like that slain lamb. Listen, worship makes you like Him. Worship gives you a lion spirit. Worship makes you stand up and look every circumstance in the face and say, "I got news for you. I'm an overcomer. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world." Worship changes you. Worship changes you. One had the face of a lion. The other the face of an eagle in flight. We was coming, made two mistakes that year. Number one, I drove to General Conference. And number two, I took my kids. They was just the age, I got three of them. They was just the age that each one had a third of the back seat. And if somebody got over their line, and they was asleep that morning, and what's the kind of radio is that the rednecks talk on? CB, hallelujah. I heard worse talk on that than I ever did at television. And my, what do you call your name on there? Your handle. My handle was the Raven Reverend. I said, "This is the Raven Reverend. Bring it on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus." Dead air, man. And I heard him talking that there was an eagle about 150 miles, was 150 miles the other side of Denver, Colorado, and there was an eagle up on a cliff there, and I made my kids wake up, And we pulled up and watched that eagle, and it was the most majestic thing I'd ever seen. And that's the way worship makes you. That eagle was sitting up on that rock. It looked like every move was animated. Hallelujah. Do you know there's a time in an eagle's life that mama eagle takes all those little baby eagles and pushes them out of the nest? And they start falling. They'd had a comfortable nest, rabbit fur, and had the best worms you could get. Somebody said, early bird gets the worm. I never did want the worm, man. And that mama eagle pushes that baby eagle out of the nest. Every morning, it's had the best comfort, but that mama eagle begins to stir that nest and take all that comfort out. And just gets up one morning, pushes that baby eagle out of the nest, and it starts falling. It's thinking, good God, mama, what are you doing? Hallelujah. And just before it hits the ground, mama picks it up. See, that's what God's been doing to the church. We realize it's not in the program. It's not in tricky sermons and hidden texts. It's not in how many degrees we get from a seminary somewhere. And I'm not against degrees on preachers. It's kind of like a curl in a pig's tail. It don't make the pig any better, but it makes it look prettier. Hallelujah. And that eagle sat there, and all those little bluebirds and jaybirds and sparrows, and that eagle just lifted his wings up and brought them down, and all those other birds just took off. And God said, that's what my eagle church is fixing to do. Hallelujah. And when it took up, listen, eagles don't fly. Eagles mount up. I was watching them sparrows. They're just about to, they're about to give themselves a hernia trying to beat them. That eagle just got up on that rock and just... He studied the currents. Just dove off. And he mounted up. And God said, he's renewing his strength. Hallelujah. Then God asked me, he said, can you imagine their perspective that eagle has on everything down below now? See, that's what worship does. You're going through hell. You've waded through hell. The devil's thrown everything he can at you. But you begin to worship, and God lifts you up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God lifts you up. Hallelujah. And God lifts you up and makes you like an eagle in flight. When I first started preaching, I was preaching in this revival. Don't want to say what state it was, but I think Brother Keller's preached there. We was getting $40 a week and had to buy all of our groceries out of that. And they kept bragging about how they was blessing that evangelist. I was trying to figure out what evangelist were they talking about. Hallelujah. To get money to get out of town. I told him one night, I said, anybody got any work? I'll do it. And a farmer came up to me after service and said, I need somebody to vaccinate livestock. I said, excuse me? He said, I need somebody to vaccinate livestock. He said, I'll give you $20 if you help me vaccinate livestock. He said, what else can you do besides vaccinate? I said, I can open locks. And I'd never been on a farm before. Well, I'd been on farms, but different kind of farm, and that cat lived on it. And we went out there, and I promise you, there was a little pig there. He called it I can't remember what he called that little pig. A funny name. It wasn't pig, it's just boat or showed or something. Huh? Whatever. Hallelujah. And he said, run that pig in this deal. And I said, go on, pig. Sue. And that pig turned around and ran at me, and I ran and dove over the fence. And he said, what kind of gang was you in, preacher? Hallelujah. And we got that pig in that thing and dropped that trap on his head. And I promise you before God, I have never seen anything in my life take on like that pig took on. It squealed. It kicked. You ever seen them do that? And I was laying on the ground laughing. I couldn't even give a... And I've always been interested in animals. I was up preaching a camp meeting up in the north country one time, and
and a beautiful flock of geese flew over. And there was an old woodsman there in the district. He said, I said, look, isn't that beautiful big flock of geese? You know how they fly in that V formation? He said, have you ever noticed, preacher, how that they fly in that V, and one line's always longer than the other? And I said, yeah. He said, I can tell you why that is. And I said, why? He said, there's more geese on that side than there. Why do they want to mess with a city boy? Kansas City Jew, and they want to mess with him. And he said, now get that calf. And I said, get it? What do you mean, get it? He said, get it over here in the stall. And the Bible said that worship makes us like a calf. And in the original, it's a calf out of the stall. And I said, come here, calfy. And we got that calf in that stall. And he said, now listen, preacher. Give it its shot and jump back. And I said, why? He said, just give it a shot and jump back. I said, okay. He said, have you ever seen a calf come out of the stall? And I said, no. He said, just give it a shot and get back. And I give that calf that shot and jump back. He released that thing. And I promise you, I have never seen anything take on like that in my life. That calf come out of that stall twisted. Its rump was meeting its head. It was going around and around and around and around. And I thought it was going to turn a flip and hurt itself. And I stood there and looked at it, and that calf was going nuts. And I said, why does it act like that? He said, because it's been trapped, and it finally got loose. And when that calf gets loose, it goes nuts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that's what worship does to us. It makes us like a calf out of the stall. Hallelujah. I was bound, but God set me free. I was lost in sin, but God turned me around. We've been singing for 50 years, the Pentecostal fire has fallen. I think it's time it hit somewhere, don't you? There's two places this terminology is used. And there's three things that happen each place. Number one, there's obedience. Number two, confession of who Jesus is. And number three, the descending of the Spirit. He walked out in that Jordan River. And John put him under the Jordan River. He brought him up. And a voice said, this is my son. And the dove came and heaven was torn open. He hung on the cross there. And the centurion said, surely this was the Son of God. And he became obedient to the death of the cross. And the veil was ripped in twain from the top to the bottom. God told me today, said there's people in this place that the devil has been on you. He's been in your family. He's been in your relationship. He's been in your health. He's been in your finances. But tonight, you're going to move into a dimension of worship. And God's going to tell the devil, you get back. They belong to me. They're mine. Hallelujah. I don't know if you've noticed this, but God doesn't get in a hurry sometimes. You ever notice that? Heard a black preacher preach, he might not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. I don't understand that. Hallelujah. But God doesn't get in a hurry sometimes. Lazarus is sick, and they come down, he's at Jericho, 17 miles away, and they say, your friend's sick, and Jesus said, I'll be up there, and God just messes around. God just hangs out, man. You ever seem like he's doing that in your life? Huh? And then finally Jesus starts up and they come meeting him. And they said, he's dead now. And Jesus said, he'll live again. They said, we know he will in the resurrection. And Jesus said, roll the stone away. Hallelujah. He intentionally waited until they'd given up. He waited till they couldn't figure it out. He waited till they couldn't do it in their self. He waited till there was no hope that they could ever do it without him. Hallelujah. Then he walked up and said, show me where you've laid him. Hallelujah. You know what God's asking us tonight? Show me where you threw the towel in. Show me where you said it couldn't happen. Show me where you said the revival couldn't come. I'm telling you, God's fixing to do something right now. Come Come on, move into that dimension of worship right now. God's fixing to do something right now. Move into that dimension of worship right now. God's getting ready to do something right now. Hallelujah. Come on, worship God right now. Come on, worship Him. Come on, worship Him. God, You have all power. God, I release You in my life. God, I turn You loose in my life. I'm going to take You and show You where I laid You, God. I want to show You where I gave up. Come on. God, I feel the awesome touch of Your... Come on, God's breaking in this place now. He's finding an orifice. He's finding a point of penetration. He's coming into this house. Hallelujah. Come on, let God touch you. Let God move in your life. Come on, reach out to Him. There's a flesh barrier. There's a place where we're fixing to tear heaven open, and God's going to come down and God's going to do the work. Say, well, God will do it when He gets ready. No, God's been ready for 60 years. God's waiting for us to pull Him into the arena by our prayer and our worship. Come on, worship Him. Come on. Worship Him. Worship Him. Hallelujah. Come on, some intercessory prayers. I want some of you to begin to pray intercessory prayer right now for God to tear this thing open. Come on. Intercessory prayer.